Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to the Catch Up. Big show today. Mark McGowan was on. Also, a few little funny gags in there about one person driving while watching something on their screen they definitely should not have been doing. Jeremy Butterworth as well was on the show. Geez, it was really busy. Besh Fish and Chips. Grant Henley as well. Bustles and Mayor. Enjoy the catch up. Very pleased to have such honourable guests in the studio with me. I've got the Premier Mark McGowan and Don Punch with me as well. How are you guys?
I am terrific and very happy to be here.
I am ecstatic to have you in the studio, both of you. You guys have been very busy yesterday, running around with essentially a checkbook, making lots of people happy.
So Don and I have been around Bunbury yesterday and this morning. So we've announced an upgrade to Bunbury Senior High School, which is a $5 million improvement, because as you know, it's 100 years old and some of it's pretty tired. And it's got 1,000 students, so it needs it. And we announced an upgrade to the Stirling Street Arts Centre. And did a range of other functions. We did an important Anzac function with some veterans, didn't we, Don?
Yeah, that was absolutely brilliant. And we had so many people from different fields of the services, and just great having a chat with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to do I'm doing a range of events around the state in regional WA of acknowledging the 100th anniversary of the First World War. So it's 100 years since it ended. So I've done events for veterans of various conflicts. Obviously, none of the First World War vets are still alive. But there were some Second World War veterans there yesterday with marvellous stories. And today I'm out in Yarloop and Harvey opening the upgrades to the Yarloop train station. As you know, we're spending $30 million on the Australind, so that's improving the rail networks down here. So I'm out there with Robin Clark, the member for Murray Wellington, doing that today.
Excellent. Have you been to Yarloop since all those horrible bushfires?
I have been there once. This will be the second time I go back. So the government's spent about $60 million on rebuilding Waroona and Yarloop. And part of that is rebuilding the community centre. So we're putting some money in the community centre today as well, but also the train station.
Yeah, they've got a tremendous spirit out in Yarloop. I chat to a few of the locals from there all the time, and just it's great to see how they've overcome it. It's really amazing to see.
It's actually a very interesting town with an interesting history, but the entire southwest like that. So I like getting out of the city, and I actually don't live that far from here because I live in Rockingham, so I'm sort of an hour south of Perth. So it's pretty easy for me to get down here, and I come down here a lot.
Yeah, like someone like you, obviously people recognise you wherever you go. Where do you go for holidays? Can you just nip off down south and people won't recognise you? You can just hide away?
Well, my last holiday at Christmas, my wife and kids and I, we drove to Augusta, and then we drove across to Albany and Hopetoun, and then to Esperance, and then we drove up by Wave Rock back to Perth. So we spent about 2 weeks on the road around regional WA, and that was really good fun.
And that was for a holiday. Don't you normally do that for work anyway, going around?
I do, but, you know, I took my wife and kids, and we swam, and we stayed in little caravan parks and all that. It's a, you know, it's a beautiful state, and you need to appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Something I just remembered as well, congratulations on what I thought was a no-brainer when I first heard it announced by you, the naming rights to Optus Stadium when you sold that, but also Perth Arena as well. I can't understand why that was never even a conceded option by the former government. It made no sense to me. And congratulations on selling off Perth Arena's name as well. That's great.
Well, some people don't like it, but basically it's done all over the world. And what it means is we make tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars basically for nothing.
Yeah.
And so it helps us manage the pretty dire financial situation we have, and we've got to make difficult decisions to get the finances under control, so we're prepared to do that.
Absolutely. Is there any other names of things that we can sell off? Kings Park, maybe? No,
maybe. I might draw the line there. now you reckon, Don, you got any ideas?
I think that'd be a bit tough, that one.
No? Maybe Bunbury Tower, we can change the name
Bunbury
of that.
Tower, yeah. Maybe have a look around.
The Triple M Bunbury Tower.
Get some ideas from everybody. What's
Triple M prepared to offer?
Yeah, not much.
We will give you the naming rights to Bunbury Tower if you want to give us a fair amount.
Yeah, I'll see what I've got in my wallet, about 20. I don't know if that has much of a... I wouldn't even pay for the sign to put up. A Living Longer Update. I now have on the line to chat all about this our foreign correspondent, Jeremy Butterworth. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Alan.
Now, this is amazing news out of Canada.
Yes, indeed. It's absolutely astonishing, in fact. Researchers at McMaster University in Ontario, Canada, found that the more red meat and cheese you eat helps you live longer.
Wow, the more cheese and red meat. That's actually incredible news.
Well, let me entertain you further with this interesting statistic. Those eating cheese and red meat saw their chances of early death fall by 25%.
Wow, a 1 in 4 chance of... wow, that is amazing.
Yes, exactly. And so much so that I decided, well, Mr. Butterworth wanted to live even longer and be healthier, so I thought I would indulge myself with cheese and red meat consistently every day.
Every day? How long have you been doing this for?
Oh, well, it's been a couple of weeks at the very least.
Jeremy, I thought you were lactose intolerant.
Well, I am, Alan, but... oh, excuse me. It just sort of comes and goes, but all this is in preparation for me to live longer, much longer. Oh, God. The wind is within my wings.
Jeremy, you're right, mate.
Yeah, well, it seems that this is having a rather interesting effect on me. I really need to go.
Okay, all right, well, I'll see you later, Jeremy.
I need to go now. I need to go.
Go, go, go. I'm hanging up. Oh, my goodness. Jeremy Butterworth there with an update. That didn't sound too good at all. Hey, Mayor of Busselton on the line, Grant Henley. Good morning.
Good morning, Al. Good morning, all your listeners.
Now, you guys have been flat out. Let's talk about Cinefest. That looked like a massive success.
Yeah, look, we had some huge celebrities in town, but not just the star power, but the industry, the people who make the movies. And we're really confident of getting another film or two filmed in the Southwest region this year.
Absolutely. It must be great for just all the businesses there, for so many people coming into the Busselton for that.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's exposure as well through the huge social media following some of these personalities have.
Yeah, for sure. The Instagrams will be going off. Also, you had the pedal pre on as well.
Yeah, great event. Fantastic for the kids. Lots of school teams. Parents down supporting that. The kids build and race and practice for that event. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and also we've heard about Sky News coming to Wynn, but they've had a bit of a visit in Busselton.
Yeah, we had Sky News here last week. Luminaries such as the Chief Executive of the Business Council of Australia and the Managing Director of Rio, Chief Executive of Programs, huge people in the business community who we were able to show around here, and we had a live broadcast.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And as far as looking forward goes, things coming up, you guys got the circus in town?
Yeah, Great Moscow Circus is in town for a show. Sure, they'll be running a few shows over the weekend for some of the kids and families and some of the older kids who enjoy the circus.
Absolutely. And the marathon as well, get training for that one.
Busselton Marathon might be a little bit late to start training, but there's I think some different distances there, so something for all abilities.
Absolutely. Grant, thanks for the chat today, mate. I do appreciate it.
Pleasure. Enjoy your day.
And this is a bit of an interesting one. A WA driver has been caught using their mobile phone while driving. His excuse? He was watching porn. All right. Yeah, geez. Both hands on the wheels, mate. 10 and 2. That's watching porn. He's been slugged with a $400 fine, but I don't know. Just glad to see that he didn't get off. A man has pushed 15 boiled eggs up his butt and has since then tore his intestines and had to go through emergency surgery in hospital. What was he thinking? For the record, these were hard-boiled without the shell, so he had the manners to take the shell off beforehand. I just don't know where your state of mind would be to even do something like that. Like, you're sitting down and you've just gone, oh, you know what? I am super hungry right now. I feel like 15 eggs. I feel like 15 eggs. I'm going to boil them and get them ready to eat. You do that, and then you sit there with them in front of you and go, you know what? I don't feel like eating them anymore. You know what? I've always kind of thought, where do eggs come from? Is there any way I can recreate it? Let's give it a crack. So you sit there, and then you get the first one, and that one, straight up. And then you go, oh, yeah? Didn't really notice that one. How about we go for a record or something? Let's just one. There we go. I got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, feeling that a little bit now, but I can't stop now. I've still got 15 in front of me. 8, 9, 9, 9, 10. Oh, Oh, I'm getting a bit... 11, 12, 13, 14. Do you think that when he got to 14, he was like, oh, come on, mate. Let's go for the record. Let's do it. 15, congratulations. And he went to surgery. Hopefully he's doing well. There's nothing worth yoking about, that's for sure. When it comes to all things Collie, there's only one person I need to talk to, and that is Kim from the Facebook page, Why I Hashtag Visit Collie. Hello, Kim. How are you?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I am doing well. Today, well, let's talk a little bit about one of my favourite spots, Wellington Dam. There is so much to see and do there.
Yeah, it is. It's a lovely place, isn't it? And because the dam's got a lot of history, originally built in 1933, and it's had a couple of extensions since then. But the thing that's a little bit exciting this year is the dam is getting really quite full. It's up to nearly 80% full. So we might even get an overflow this year.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know whether they really like it to overflow. I think they like to let a little bit out and keep it just below the top, but we all like it when it overflows because it's pretty awesome seeing it all come down that wall.
Yeah, I mean, it's visually impressive, that little lookout on top there by the kiosk. It's pretty stunning.
Yes, there's a couple of photos and videos of the dam levels as it was last weekend up on Visit Collie at the moment. And we will be watching that over the next days and weeks. And if this rain keeps up, who knows? It might actually go over.
Yeah, very, very cool. Something else to see there is the kiosk, obviously, as well.
Yeah, look, when I went out there, I actually only planned on going out there for an hour, but ended up wandering around exploring, and lunchtime came along. So I ducked back to the kiosk and called in to see Steve and Diane. And I bought one of their Dam Buster pies for my lunch. They do most of their baking there. Diane and Stephen make all their cakes and cheesecakes there, and I believe they actually make the Dam Buster pies themselves as well.
Oh, there you go. What's in that?
It is. It's got minced beef, and it has bacon and a whole egg.
Wow.
And all little chopped up bits of bacon on the top.
There you go. I think that'll cure most people's hunger.
Yeah, I reckon, eh?
Yeah, I think so too. Well, Wellington Dam, obviously a beautiful spot to check out, just outside of Collie. So, you know, if you're pretty much on your way or leaving or whatever you're doing, definitely something to add to the list. Kim, thanks for the chat.
Yep, talk to you again soon.
And right now, the hunt is on in WA to find the best fish and chips. Last year, Albany managed to pick up the title, but a man that came second, and I'm sure that's still kind of angry about it, is Dave from Blue Ocean Fish and Chips in Augusta. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, buddy. Yeah, not angry at all, mate. We were absolutely stoked to get where we got to, and proud of the team that we have that got us up there as well. So, very good stuff.
Yeah, but number two, mate, wouldn't you rather that number one?
it is what it is. And, you know, number two is just, you know, doing this, being in this game for 18 years, it's a big achievement for us personally. So yeah, it was quite an exciting year last year.
Absolutely, mate. What are you guys doing so well?
Basically, the local fish. You know, we push the local fish as hard as we can down here. The people that come through, a lot of tourists, obviously a tourist town. We push the local fish. They love it. They love seeing us cutting up the local shark and the jewfish and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes such a long way when people know that they're getting what they actually pay for, so it's great.
Absolutely. Is there a secret in the batter that you use?
The secret's in the herbs and spices.
Ah, so not your standard old beer batter. Well, obviously people are now putting in the nominations and whatnot at the website. Want to see you guys nominate again and maybe even take it out this year.
Yeah, well, let's hope we can, fingers crossed, and, you know, we'll keep working hard. We're not, we haven't changed anything that, you know, to what we did last year. So, you know, we've got to be consistent. That's what we try to be all the time. So, fingers crossed we can get that one step further this year.
Absolutely, mate. Thank you for the chat today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem, mate. Not a worry.
Dave there from Augusta Fish and Chips, and hopefully they can pull it off this year. If you want to have your say, you can do so by going to the website fishandchipsawards.com.au. Yes, I got Mr. Barry Urquhart on the line with me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Alan.
I am so excited to talk about what we're about to talk about. The little shop, the Coles Minis. Oh, let's talk all about it.
Alan, I think that we should, because these fads are an incredibly important component of the landscape of Australian business, because irrationally, consumers do respond to them, are interested in it, seek them out, and it can actually determine over a very short period of time where people shop rather than not necessarily what they shop at.
Yeah. So is this for Coles? Do you think it's been successful, this little shop campaign?
Oh, it's been outstandingly successful because prior to the Little Shop campaign, Coles was having about a 2% decline in sales. Now, that represents about 12... Well, hold on, let's put that into perspective. It's a $104 billion business. Coles has around about 32% market share. So their total sales are about $33 billion a year. This 2% decline in sales was costing them about $12.8 million per week. Now, when you could actually redress that situation and indeed increase sales by 2%, it means that over an eight-week period, this little campaign was going to generate more than $205 million with add-on sales and that type of situation for Coles alone.
Yeah, okay, that's a big money we're talking about. Well, the thing is, like you said it before, you said it's a fad, which means that it does have to finish up eventually.
Well, exactly. The pressure that was being applied by young children to their parents, if you went back one generation, the parents who were being subjected to what we refer to as pester power, they were doing that to their own parents about yo-yos. Every couple of years we'd have yo-yos. We had to have yo-yos. But the problem is, they only last six, at most 8 weeks. Now, I went on and I said, look, this will be an eight-week campaign. It turned out that it was going to be 6 weeks, but it's been so outstandingly successful where parents are having swap meets. They're going online, on radio. They're meeting in halls in local communities to exchange these type of situations. It has become a currency and has become a topic of conversation, and it reflects the importance of pester power, which at the moment is estimated to be worth about $150 billion a year for all businesses within Australia.
Yeah, well, it couldn't have come at a better time either. Coles, obviously, with the whole backflipping over the plastic bag thing, which finishes up today, they could have done with that good publicity. I think a lot of people weren't so quick to bag out Coles because they were addicted to the Little Shop.
Exactly. It was just a distraction from all the negative publicity and the oscillating sort of policies that was, you know, on and off again about these plastic bags, and it was a very significant distraction. So now what you've got to say is, will it happen again? There is absolutely no question. Terry, I arrived last night back in Perth from Bali, and of course it can be extrapolated because we were there with the golf clubs and with a golf retailing group, with On Course Golf, you know, the people who were there. When they have fads, when they have events, people come out of their way to participate in, you know, golf events, on, you know, pro-am events, but more particularly in actually being, think about this, being fitted to your golf sticks, because they can now do it through computerization to say, that's not the stick that you should be having, you know, this is the one, and it's all about, you know, computerization. Now, people get fascinated with what some people would say is well beyond a fad, but when there's that titillation, people respond very emotionally, rationality goes out the door, expenditure goes up, and profits are improved appreciably.
So does this mean that we should be expecting to see, say, Woolies or even IGAs to be busting out some kind of Little Shop campaign of their own?
Absolutely no question about that. I think that what you can probably expect that they will be happening around about 4 to 6 times a year between the three major players. So they'll do another two. Interestingly enough, the Little Shop was going to run for 6 weeks. It's now been extended to 8 weeks, and it's been so outstandingly successful, there's now talk about it being extended to 10 weeks. So there's probably another 2 or 3 weeks, purely and simply because some people haven't got the complete set of 30 little products. And of course, there are always the temptations is, when you've got the hand, the finger, and that type of situation where you could be winning $100 vouchers, that is in itself a financial incentive and a reward.
Yeah, so good work to Coles. They've nailed this one. Mate, thank you so much for the chat today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
Barry Urquhart there, the Managing Director at Marketing Focus. Yes, ML is out on the road in the Triple M Street Patrol. Hello, Mel.
Hello. Morning.
Hey, Mel, before I let you go, I did have Mark McGowan on just before. Is there any question that you would have asked him?
Probably not. I wouldn't know what to ask.
No? Cool. Good banter. Thank you very much, Mel.
Thank you.
Mel there from the Triple M Street Patrol. Go see her. She's at Hay Park. Get back into the music. Keep on running. Triple M. literally, I was about to go to air before, and I broke the headphone, the jack, the thing that connects right through so I can hear everything, and I've got like half of it sticking out right now of the studio. I am not going to be the technician's best friend today, I can tell you that much. And in a panic, I ran around to the other side of the desk, plugged my headphones, well, not the another pair of headphones because I've broken these ones now, and kind of plugged it in at the back. This is like because there was a cord too long, and I've stepped on it. I can barely hear myself now. I think I've messed up the whole station. Sorry, Cliff, later on this afternoon when he's in, he's going to not be too happy with me. But yeah, I'm going to try and, I can't pull it. I'm going to need pliers or tweezers or something to pull this remaining bit of the metal out of the desk.